Johnson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The temperature in 31 states climbed above 90 degrees today. CBS's Manuel Bohorquez watched the mercury rise in Miami.
Even by South Florida standards, this heat is excessive, according to the National Weather Service, which issued an advisory for the third day in a row.
It's toasty. It's toasty.
Even by Miami standards.
By Miami standards.
Bo and his family are seeking shade. Others, the water from the dog days of summer.
You can see it's hotter, you know, throughout the year. And, you know, our winters are like that now.
Too quick.
Yeah, it's too quick. You know, you blink eyes and they're gone.
And it's not just Florida. In Bangor, Maine, near record high temperatures are keeping firefighters busy with emergency calls.
None of us that live in Maine are used to this kind of heat.
The first Alzheimer's drug to slow the disease gets full FDA approval. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
79-year-old Susie Mitchell is living with the early symptoms of Alzheimer's disease with help from a drug called Leqembi.
I can stay active and healthy and with it.
A few months ago, with a diagnosis of mild cognitive decline, she started receiving infusions. Her husband, Tom, says her symptoms have stayed the same, which to them is a real victory.
I don't think there's been any change between even the first of the year and now.
In January, the FDA fast-tracked the approval of Leqembi, which targets plaques in the brain associated with Alzheimer's.
Walt Nauta, an aide to former President Trump, has pleaded not guilty to federal charges related to the former president's alleged mishandling of classified documents. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
His case has one distinguishing characteristic. He's also accused of lying to federal investigators while they were investigating this case, of sitting with the federal agents and telling them an untruth. That's according to the indictment.
The Biden administration is expected to announce tomorrow that it's providing controversial cluster munitions to Ukraine in its battle against Russia. CBS's Charlie Daggett says the plan comes as questions loom over the whereabouts of the man who staged a brief revolt against Russia's military last month.
The warlord who spearheaded that brazen, if failed, armed rebellion in a march on Moscow less than 2 weeks ago is back on Russian soil. At least according to the president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, who said today Yevgeny Prigozhin had returned home to St. Petersburg. No evidence to back up those claims, and the mercenary leader hasn't been seen in public since trying to pull off that uprising.
This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. GI Bill, Skill Bridge, and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
At Lowe's, we're always bringing pros more ways to save. Right now, get up to 40% off select bathroom faucets and vanities. Plus, buy Southwire Romex simple 12-gauge indoor wire at our everyday low price of $109. Head to your local Lowe's or visit us at Lowe's.com for more deals you can't beat. Because Lowe's knows savings, Lowe's knows pros. Valid 7/6 through 7/12 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. U.S. only.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The man charged in the killing of another man at the Bunker Hill campground in Cazenovia appeared in court yesterday. David Harp, age 61, of Baraboo, appeared in Richland County Circuit Court yesterday for a preliminary hearing. Harp is charged with second-degree reckless homicide in the death of Corby Neef, 54, of Partyville, on May 25th at the Bunker Hill campground. David Harp is to be released on a $40,000 cash bond and will be on house arrest except for work. Harp can't have any firearms or be on the premises or the campground at Bunker Hill. He is also ordered to maintain complete sobriety. The Rafters are looking to break their losing streak tonight after three games in a row. In the second half of the season, the 0-2 Rafters head to Mequon today to play a two-game series against the Lakeshore Chinooks. First pitch tonight at 6:35. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 49 overnight under clear skies, northwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow, high of 80. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 55, cloudy. Upper 70s Saturday with a chance for scattered storms. Mid 80s, lots of sunshine Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Jacob. This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we got a jam-packed show here. It seems like I haven't been on in a week, and so I just want to give a quick shout out to Renzo and Olivia that are just leaving here. My godchildren are here today with Wendy and celebrating life, and it's good to see them, and thanks for the t-shirt that they drew me. And I don't know if you can see this, they drew a little butt, because I always tell them, you know, do you know what? And they say what? And I say chicken butt. And so they drew a butt on my shirt. And so I just want to say peeny geegee. Hey, Robert's with us from Native American Community Development Institute. And Robert, we got a jam-packed show. And we got your good friend, sister, Peggy, to lead off. And I'd like us to discuss a little bit after we listen to our lieutenant governor here in Minnesota.
Honey, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I'm joining Native Roots Radio with an update from the Walz Flanagan administration. It's an exciting week here in Minnesota as the federal government and the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development announced transformative investments in broadband. In 2023, reliable high-speed broadband is part of the basic infrastructure that keeps us connected to our lives. It's how we run our businesses, do our homework, keep in touch with loved ones. And as equipment becomes more advanced, our farms and our transportation systems increasingly rely on strong internet connections. Yet far too many households, especially those who are low income or live in the most rural parts of the state, do not have access to this basic necessity. We hear about kids doing their school assignments in the McDonald's parking lot to use the free Wi-Fi, or employees taking Zoom meetings from their phones, relying on data and phone service just to do their jobs. Whether you live in the heart of Minneapolis-St. Paul or in the furthest reaches of the North Woods, you should have access to this essential connection. This week, I joined U.S. Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo to highlight the $652 million awarded to Minnesota by the Biden-Harris administration to invest in broadband equity across the state. This incredible investment from the Biden-Harris administration and the U.S. Department of Commerce will be transformational for broadband infrastructure here in Minnesota and across the nation. The Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development also announced nearly $67 million in investments across the state through the Border-to-Border Broadband Development Grant Program and the Low Population Density Program. I visited 702 Communications in Moorhead, Minnesota, to celebrate this incredible and essential work to keep us all better connected. And I'm still incredibly emotional over the recent Supreme Court decision to uphold the Indian Child Welfare Act and affirm our right to raise our babies in our communities. When ICWA was first passed, over one-third of all Native children had been removed from their homes and placed with non-Native families with no ties to their tribes or communities. ICWA is crucial to the well-being of Native children and their families and the future of tribal nations. You've heard Governor Walz and I repeat how important it is for us to lead with our values. We have made it a priority to ensure that Minnesota Mokoche is the best state for all kids to grow up, a state where every child is safe and protected and invested in. When Governor Walz signed the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act into law in March, we were making sure that Native children and Native families had another layer of protection, regardless of what the Supreme Court was going to decide. This was one step forward, ensuring that all families have the ability to thrive here in Minnesota. And the Supreme Court's opinion affirmed that we were right. I'm so grateful that seven Supreme Court justices decided to be on the right side of history and uphold the constitutionality of ICWA. But I really wish that my dad was alive to see this moment. He never stopped fighting for tribal sovereignty, which was at risk if this case had not turned out the way it did. This decision is a major victory for Native children, for Native families, for tribal nations, and for the future of our cultures and for the beautiful diversity that exists within our identities as Native people across Turtle Island. We get to keep our babies, raise our babies, and love our babies. But we also know that our families struggle. And this work is far from done. Historical trauma is real. It impacts our families. We know that. Our rates of out-of-home placement of Native children aren't much different than they were across the nation when ICWA was first passed. So if Native children need to be removed from their parents, ICWA and MIFPA require that the children are placed with their extended family where they belong, while everything is done to provide services and support to reunify them with their parents. When Native children are connected to their culture, they thrive. When Native children are doing well, and when tribal nations are doing well, then all of us are doing well. This is the work we can do together to focus on what is best for our children. And I'm excited to keep doing this work in partnership with each of you. It's a joy to continue to celebrate victories, big and small, with Native Roots Radio audience. Chimi Rich, Pina Gigi, and back to you.
Wow. 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 Robert, what do you say? First of all, she does a great update with us, and we are so appreciative here at Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, I think that's great. So congratulations to you on the show. And oh yeah, bonjour, it's nice to be here with you. And I always love listening to our Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, the highest ranking Native person in executive office in this country.
Definitely. And a good friend of yours. And, you know, you were doing your political career and then she was just getting into politics, and your paths passed each other and have been friends for many, many years now.
She was kind enough to reach out to me during her first campaign, which is a school board campaign, you know, kind of a good entry level office to run for. And I was honored to work on helping to develop her message and volunteering on her campaign, and I wrote her first campaign contribution check, and gave her first introduction for her victory speech on election night, and she was so respectful that she brought me tobacco and asked me to swear her into office. And I was in public office at the time, and since I had taken the oath of office, I could administer it. So I swore her into office all those years ago, almost 20 years ago.
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, I didn't know a couple of those things. That was really cool. We're here again with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And I appreciate you sharing your segments with the Lieutenant Governor. And it's just a good day to be Indian.
Hear, hear. And I will say, I don't have a cat or dog, so that isn't coming from my end. But and just listening to Peggy there, she's, you know, one of those really, really rare elected officials that always is engaged with her heart as well as her head, and thinking of what she's going to say and what it means to people. And she's just so authentic. I'm so proud of her.
Yeah, well, and we got a couple minutes left in this segment, and I don't want to get too deep, but, you know, there's always something popping up, and one of the things that I wanted to touch base with you is just that weirdness with the Pocahontas in South Dakota. I mean, does this stuff ever end?
I can't believe it. And I think it's in Iowa, right? Muscatine, Iowa?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Iowa.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just shocking, and for people that haven't seen the image, it's a I don't know, an apparently non-Native woman in a skimpy Pocahontas costume, literally being dragged or tied up to a horse.
Yeah.
And a rider pulling her, I guess, in a 4th of July parade.
Yeah, it just never ends. Hey, Robert, stick with us again. We have a lot to talk about, but we also want to hear from the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, too. And he's given us an update, too. And I'd love to have you respond on what's happening in our, I don't know if we even call it our sister, but our close state, you know.
Our close state. All these executives are giving you information, Robert. They're paying attention to you.
Right on. And because I have great guests like you. So, hey, we'll be right back after this short break with Robert Lilligren and an update from Governor Evers of Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Attention, Native American community. We've come a long way in our fight against COVID-19. The emergency declaration may be over, but our responsibility to stay vigilant remains. It is crucial to remember that the virus is still among us, and we must continue to prioritize our health and the well-being of our loved ones and elders. Besides getting vaccinated, let's not forget the basics when we're around people who are still vulnerable to COVID-19. Wear your mask, wash your hands regularly, and take an at-home COVID-19 test if you have any symptoms. We've shown incredible strength and resilience throughout history, and we will triumph over this challenge as well. Let's honor our ancestors by taking care of one another and keeping our communities safe. Together, let's navigate uncertain times with courage and unity. Stay informed, stay safe, and remember that our actions today will shape a brighter future for our Native community. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute. And Robert, I'm thrown off here. It's a Thursday, and I wasn't at the Four Sisters Market today. And
I know, we missed you.
It was a perfect day, too.
It was a great day at the Four Sisters Farmers Market. It's one of our projects of NACTI, and you're there every Thursday. People noticed your absence, for sure, but the weather was perfect. It's kind of a scene, as you know. It's kind of a buzzy scene within the Native community here, and we had a great food demonstration and food samples. It was a good day at the market.
And I'm a little butthurt, too, because the person that was putting the food sample on is a Ho-Chunk. So that was was sad. And we weren't out there supporting her and what you guys do there. So I am a little thrown off here. And we got a short update from the governor of Wisconsin. And we really appreciate these updates because, again, Robert, you know, we're all over Wisconsin. We're on 18 other stations in Wisconsin, and we're really grateful to be partnering with Wisconsin because, you know, I'm a legislator for Ho-Chunk Nation.
Oh, yeah.
And you helped me get elected with a lot of good insight. I really appreciate that. And, you know, it's a 4-year term and it's already 2 years, and now I got to start thinking about running again.
Right. Well, and these borders between our states, those are colonizer tools, right? Those are.
Exactly.
We didn't set those borders.
Exactly. So why don't we take a quick listen here? I know it's a quick update, and then we're going to get back to Robert and what's happening, and maybe you can comment a little bit on Governor Evers. Let's take a listen.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Hey there, folks. Governor Tony Evers here. Yesterday, I signed the 2023-25 biennial budget the legislature sent to my desk, making substantial improvements. I'm proud that the budget I signed into law yesterday will provide a historic increase in support to local communities statewide, build on our work to do what's best for our kids with historic budget investments in K-12 education, investing $125 million in addressing and preventing PFAS contamination statewide, make one of the largest investments in our workforce housing in state's history, and make key investments in our justice system, our state workforces, our tourism industries, our farmers, producers, and our veterans. And with the help of my vetoes, this budget will ensure $15 million in additional support for state's child care providers with additional flexibility, provide school districts with a predictable long-term spending authority increases for the foreseeable future, give the UW system the ability to keep 188 positions, and make sure tax relief goes to working families facing rising costs. So I'm glad the legislature joined me in making critical investments in several key areas. The fact remains that this budget, while now improved, remains imperfect and incomplete. Of urgent concern to me as governor is that Republicans return this budget to me without critical components of my comprehensive plan to address the workforce challenges that have already plagued our state for generations and will continue to do so without further action. So I'm giving the legislature a second chance. I'm using my broad constitutional veto authority to ensure ample state resources are readily available for the legislature to complete their work on this budget. I'm optimistic that our work together can continue, and it must, so we can bolster our state's workforce, maintain our economic momentum, and most importantly, do the right thing for Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Thank you, Governor Evers. Robert, I don't know if you had a time to check out that text I just sent you, but it's really interesting that Evers kind of outsmarted the Republicans there. And right. I don't know if you saw that where he changed the number.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Give our audience
this morning. He made a brilliant use of what's called his partial veto, right? And it was brilliant, brilliant, strategic. You know, especially I liked he kind of, you know, calmly, subtly used the term long-term funding for education. He funded education increases until the year 2425. So we did 400 years of education funding with just a stroke of his partial veto pen.
And he changed the dates because it was for 2024 and 2025, and he just combined the numbers, right?
Right. He just did a strike through and changed the number, and he had the authority to do it. And he used that authority, and he used it so strategically. And, you know, there was a Republican-backed middle-class tax that they created that was for families making something like up to $405,000 a year. And he vetoed that. and change the tax rates, the tax structure. And the Republicans howled that it was he was cutting a middle class tax they put in place. So I have a hard time thinking of some household income of $405,000 a year as middle class.
Exactly. That's crazy. Well, good for them. And, you know, with their new Supreme Court person there, hopefully we can get rid of the gerrymandering in Wisconsin and have them a little bit more like Minnesota, because we love to visit Wisconsin. We don't like the Packers, but we love to visit the Wisconsin.
Right. Well, it's so interesting with Evers' situation and his him using his limited veto so well. So it shows you the importance, right? The Democrats hold the governor's office, but the Republicans control the legislature. And so it just shows you elections matter. Who we put into these offices matter, and not just in some abstract state at the Capitol sort of way, but in the daily, in our daily lives. So I just think that's a brilliant example. Hats off.
Yeah. Governor and Harris. I'm excited because we're going to be revving up soon. And I know you guys have with Make Voting a Tradition. That's coming out right now. And it's not soon enough for me to get more people registered and talk to our Gen Zs who are going to save us.
Right. And that Make Voting a Tradition, it's a project in NACTI. It's a multi-generational approach to engaging Native folks, not just at the ballot box, but in the whole political process, making sure people know how it works, how government works, who are the candidates are running for office. And it's been very successful. It's been a project of NACTI for about, I think, maybe 8 years now.
Wow. Yeah. It's got a great saying, make voting a tradition. That's very, very Native, and I really appreciate that. And you always have some good swag and things to hand out. And I know you were involved, and there was a couple other organizations, and I just want to bring this up, too, that it was the cycle before the last, where up north, 9,000 new voters in the reservations up there, and that made a huge difference in the last presidential election.
It does, and, you know, one of the things we're learning is that, Native votes might be somewhat small in number, but they're mighty in percentage, right? And they can be that margin of victory in when elections are being won by 1 or 2% of the vote. And we, our Make Voting a Tradition was part of a national 7-state strategy, it was called, where 7 states were identified where the Native vote could actually swing the presidential vote. And in 2 of them, it did. It did swing. I mean, there was Michigan and Arizona, I think.
Yep.
Don't quote me on that, but that's political power, right? That's power building for our people when we can actually swing votes and we demand reciprocity. Okay, we can we can swing this vote. What are you going to do for us?
And exactly. I think
we've seen in the Biden-Harris administration, they've done stuff for us.
Yeah, and I always say this, and I don't know if I should bring this up, because my Facebook picture is with picture with Obama when I got to meet him for 13 seconds, or was it 12 seconds? Biden came out of the racetrack or out of the gates, I should say. Really, with some progressive bills right away.
He did. And I've always thought it was, it's interesting. Race plays such a huge role in our country, in our politics. And it was interesting what an elder white man felt he could accomplish, right out of the gate, and what a young black man president thought he could accomplish. And so I give Biden credit, I give him some credit. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how 2024 plays out.
Yeah, we really, to make things happen and to get this bad nightmare in this last 6 years of mega, we really have to.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Do you have items you want to sell? Arpen Lions Club is holding Farmer Flea Market Fridays in Arpen every Friday from 9 to 5. You can sell anything that is legal to sell. Vendors can set up in Arpen on Church Road, starting at the Old Town Hall and going north on Church Road through the big parking lot of the old feed mill. They'll have public restrooms available at Candy Cane Park. Sign up on Facebook or text Seth at 715-540-8480. The Riverfront Arts Center is calling for water-themed artwork from artists age 18 and older. You can submit your water-themed artwork for the Open Water Art Exhibit that will be displayed this fall. The exhibit will provide artists with a platform to express their creative interpretations of this theme, fostering a deep understanding of water's influence on our environment and personal well-being. Submissions are due August 17th and 18th. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with the link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 49 overnight under clear skies, northwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tomorrow, high of 80. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 55, cloudy. Upper 70s Saturday with a chance for scattered storms. Mid 80s, lots of sunshine Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Coke.
For each additional appliance you buy, put us to the test at WarnerStallion.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, I'm here with Mary, and Mary is the president of the Friends of the Black River Forest. And Mary, welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, Robert. Thanks a lot for having me. Hi, Haley.
Hey, we talked at the Wisconsin Democratic Convention for a little bit, and I thought what you had to say was pretty enthralling, and I wanted to get you on and talk a little bit about that.
Great. Well, I'm really happy to be here. It's something that, you know, we try to attend organizations that have a large number of people in order to get our word out. And we were fortunate to speak to many people at that convention who had never heard of what is going on in near Colorado Andre State Park outside of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And I could fill you in a little bit about the history of our group. We started, we're from about a mile from the state park and very, very close to the a piece of land, which is 247 acres along the Lake Michigan shore, which is owned by the Kohler Company and has been since around 1936. This piece of land was part of the larger tract that Kohler owned was donated to Terry Andre Park in the 60s, I believe. And that was a few hundred acres, and they retained their 247 acres. They also had been in a lease agreement to lease the 247 acres to the state and had many negotiations for the state to acquire it permanently, but they didn't work out. So in around 2012, we heard, meaning the neighbors here, that the Kohler Company intended to use its land that had been preserved by the family since basically it was untouched since they bought it in 1936, that they had planned to create a glamping facility, which was high-end glamping. And this necessitated an archaeological report. And then if we fast forward, that deal was changed and the company decided they wanted to build a championship golf course along the lake on their acreage. And we then became friends of the Black River Forest because we were very concerned because particularly with companies who are well connected and who also do a lot for the community, there can be at times passes given, particularly on environmental regulations. And we were very concerned and decided to monitor the DNR's actions and the Kohler Company, as well as other permitting agencies. So our work took kind of like twofold, like a two-pronged action. One was to educate people about the rarity of this land, the rarity of the state park land, which Kohler wanted to use some acres of to add to theirs for the golf course, and the cultural history, which is so heavily evidenced in our area of the Native American presence, from Green Bay all the way to Milwaukee. And we happen to be in an area that has been known really early by archaeologists in the early 1900s, some even before that, of a continuous habitation here along the shore. When they decided to go for a golf course, there were two other archaeological studies done. And one uncovered thousands of artifacts and historic fishing village. But the artifacts show habitation, as I said, back to 4,000 years ago. And then, of course, we come to the more current presence of Native Americans. And over the years, of course, we have the presence of mound builders here. We have Indian Mound State Park, which a Kohler relative was famously worked to preserve those 18 effigy mounds. And that's probably less than a quarter of a mile from the Kohler site. So going further forward, we then decided when we heard about the excavations and all of the impacts that were planned for this course, we decided we had to challenge a very poorly written wetland fill permit by the DNR. And that particular permit was revoked by an administrative law judge in 2019. And the Kohler Company appealed that, and the revocation was upheld in the circuit court. So the wetland permit, we will know what the appellate court decision is because Kohler appealed the two revocations. So we are challenging it on that level. We're also challenging a state park giveaway. The DNR gave away prime Kohler Andre State Park land to the Kohler Company to build a large maintenance complex for fuel and pesticide mixing and diesel equipment maintenance and storage. And also, they gave the company two easements, one to reconstruct the entire entrance to Kohler Andre with a rotary so that Kohler could get to its landlocked parcel. They have no other entrance. Well, actually, they do have entrance on their own land, but I should say they didn't choose to use that option. They chose an option of going through the main entrance of the state park. And also to build a road from that rotary going north through really important habitat to what would be their golf course. So those are the two things, the two prongs of our legal action. What I told you about when I met you at the convention, what we were trying to bring to people's attention is that all of the action stemming from Kohler wanting to build this golf course and remove the ecosystem here has resulted in Kohler bringing our standing status to even bring a lawsuit to the Supreme Court. An appeals court affirmed our right to challenge a state agency, the DNR, on its giveaway of the land. The Supreme Court reversed that and said that we have no standing to challenge a state agency. This is critical for the people of Wisconsin to know, because right now there's an agreement pending, a land exchange agreement, to give the Kohler Company these 6 acres of prime land. And if that agreement is not reviewed either by the governor or the National Resources Board and nullified, what that means is that any of our state parks and public lands can be used as bargaining chips. Because in this case, the Kohler Company went to former Governor Scott Walker and said, and presented their golf course plan that they wanted to use state land and asked for help. And from then on, it was downhill for the DNR because how they were pressured to push through the permit and to give the company what it wanted is well documented. And so that's where we are. We can't bring the land swap decision into court. We have no right to argue it according to the Supreme Court. That's huge for all environmental organizations. So, and then, of course, when I found out that you were with Native Roots Radio, I got so excited because lately we've been really working to bring to the attention of the Native American community, how significant this area is. And when the Wisconsin Historical Society gives its permitting, they're dealing only with the actual footprint of the Kohler Project. And what we maintain is that the entire area around this project is sacred ground.
Right.
Human remains were found, and we didn't even know it until a couple Bell Reagans and Eric Thielen decided to request documents from the Army Corps of Engineers in 2018 and found out that there were, in fact, evidence of many more mounds and that human remains had been found. And unfortunately, private land cannot be forced to become on the National Registry of Historic Places.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the land that is conserved as a historic place has been arranged with the owner and the institution. So Kohler has never, even though the Army Corps has said that the Kohler land is eligible to be on the National Register of Historic Places, Kohler hasn't responded to any of that. In fact, Kohler hasn't responded to anything in the 9 years we've been working on this.
You know, we got a minute left here, and I want to bring you back in, and I want to talk a little bit about action, what we can do, what our listeners can do, what's the solution here. And I know here in Minnesota, we're always dealing with the DNR and pipelines and native lands, and what can we do if we can't take them to court? You know, we have to have a plan of action of some sort, Mary. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that and a little bit more about this so-called land swap. So, hey, really great to have you on. We're with Mary, and she is the president of Friends of the Black Forest, River Forest, here in Wisconsin. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Ho!
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Even though the public COVID-19 emergency might be over, it's still important to stay up to date on vaccinations. And if you're like most people, you probably need a refresher on who should get vaccinated and when. So here's the bottom line. If you're 6 years or older, aim for that one updated COVID-19 vaccine. It doesn't matter if you've had a previous vaccine or not. You're still in the game. Now, if you're 65 or older, you've got the green light for one extra dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Just wait 4 months after your first updated dose, and you're good to go. And for the little ones, children between 6 months and 5 years may need multiple doses, including at least one of the updated vaccines, based on their age and previous doses. Remember, always stay informed and reach out to healthcare professionals for personalized guidance. Didn't catch all of that? You can find all of the updated COVID vaccine information at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Uh-huh! Uh-huh! Uh-huh!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, you know, we just heard from Dallas Goldtooth of Reservation Dogs there, and it's really sad that this last year is their last year on television, and they had a great three-year run, and they're going to be calling it quits while they're on top, so that's a good way to go, but still sad, and waiting in August 2nd, I guess, is when their season drops, so we're really pretty sad here at Native Roots Radio about that, but we'll have Bobby Wilson on and Dallas on again real soon before the opening of Reservation Dogs. Hey, we're here with Mary Fadash, and we're talking about, and she's the president of Friends of the Black River Forest, and we're talking about some concerning things happening in Wisconsin, and we, you know, dislike new golf courses. We dislike deals with the DNR and the secret stuff that they do, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking about this, Mary.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about call to action. What can our listeners do? Because we like to talk about that, too, besides, I suppose, protesting around the DNR office 24/7. What can we do?
Well, let's see, Robert. I think one of the biggest issues that we talk about is how do we move, if at all, the Kohler Company to address the major destruction that will occur, because the piece of land has the highest wetland quality in the state. It is an important migratory bird stopover, which is the best possible. It's considered an IBA. There are rare interdunal wetlands that are protected in northern Wisconsin and also through the Ramsar Convention in Europe. And the deforestation will be at least 180 of 247 acres clear cut next to the state park. So the organizations that have stepped up to write to the DNR are the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, the Wisconsin Society of Ornithology, the, I'm trying to think of the other one. Well, anyway, the Sierra Club has joined with us as a partner in this campaign, and they have written a petition to the Kohler Company asking them to reconsider this. Because, you know, once this rare area is gone, it's gone forever. And the impacts of the pollution are irreparable. So that is one thing. And I will have that published on our website tomorrow. Our website is friendsblackriverforest.org. Also, I talked to you about the petition to Governor Evers, asking him to review this land exchange that was made during the Walker administration, because it really is critical to all the residents of Wisconsin. We have a petition for that is not too difficult to remember. It is change.org/freekohlerandre.com. And Kohler Andre is A-N-D-R-A-E. So those are two petitions that are in the making. I think when I decided to, practically it cost you as you were walking past our booth, I was thinking, what is it that the Native American media can do to get this word out? Because it's beyond for us just the fact that we're fighting to not have a permit given on the Kohler golf site But beyond that, the contingent destruction in this area, which is known to be heavily previously occupied. I don't know. I guess I'm asking you. You know, I had gone to speak to Bill Quackenbush of Ho-Chunks in Lac du Flambeau before our litigation really was in full thrust. And I literally begged them to help take a stand against this destruction. But I certainly, we want to be an ally, but we certainly don't understand all of the forces that Native Americans deal with, you know, on a regular basis with their land and their artifacts and the violation of human remains. And he was involved with a memorandum of agreement with a few other tribal historic preservation officers to agree to monitor the Kohler excavations. And it's very sad to read the comments. I believe I sent you the transcripts of those. There was a real resignation among the Thippos about, I guess there really isn't anything we can do. You know, Kohler is too big. They're not going to stop the project. And we didn't ask to have our ancestors ripped from the ground. You decided to do that.
Right.
And so that's very, very sad that this is taking place with a memorandum of agreement that clearly favors the Kohler Company. And by the way, the land exchange for the land swap is completely in favor of the Kohler Company. It is not beneficial at all to the taxpayers and residents of the state of Wisconsin. So there's been a lot written about this. You know, one of the professors at Edgewood College in Madison talked about this being a heist of cherished lands.
Well, and I get really concerned when we talk about burial lands, too, because I know here in Minnesota, no matter what they're doing, if something happens like that, immediately the tribes are contacted and brought in. And so this really concerns me when there are known burial grounds in this area and that they're still tearing up the ground. And it's just, I think what we can do here at Native Roots Radio is expose it to this information out there. But we should talk about the tribes and tribal members. And I know being a governmental person too in our tribe, there's two ways about this. One of is a government way, and then there's the membership way. And I think we need to call on our membership of all the nations in Wisconsin to really take action and look into this too. So, Mary, I really appreciate you bringing this up, and we got to have you come on again. We can get in digging even deeper.
Thanks, Robert.
Yeah, so Mary, give a website or something, and we're wrapping up the show, and so how people can support you and support these actions and keep updated. What can you give our listeners?
We're friends, blackriverforest.org. It's a temporary website. We're working on a new one, but on that one, by either tonight or tomorrow, we'll have both petitions listed, and they can read about the impacts that will happen to the land and actually, you know, to the health of the Great Lakes.
Absolutely. Pinigigi, again, thanks for coming on, Mary, and we'll talk to you real soon. Hey, right on. This has been Native Roots Radio. We want to give a quick shout out to the Lieutenant Governor Robert Liljegren for stopping in, and Governor Evers with his update. And
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. but MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's